Praise the Lord. All right, thank you so much for joining us today on Family Essence, and I want to appreciate us for joining in today's program, and I want to believe God is has been faithful to us and has been looking after us before now. So it is a good thing to praise God and to always appreciate the goodness of God in our lives. So those are things that God is doing in our lives. They are not things that we can easily lay our hands upon, but we sure do know that God is faithful to us and giving us the gift of life. It's a good thing to always bless the name of the Lord. So in this vein, we will be praying together and appreciating God for his goodness in our lives and for what he has been doing in our lives. So we'll spend a moment in prayer, and then we'll look at today's what the Holy Spirit has for us, and what God has to say to us as well in his word. So let us close our eyes as we pray together. Let's first appreciate the goodness of God in our lives. It is a good thing to bless the name of the Lord. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forgetting not all his benefit, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our disease, who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth us with loving kindness and his tender mercies." Let's bless the name of the Lord for how he has been keeping us, both we and those around us. Let's thank God for giving us the gift of life, for his constant provision and his protection upon our lives. Let's thank him for how he has been sustaining our lives. We are not better than those that are in the hospital at this time. Those that are in need at this time, we are not greater than them. It is by the mercies of God that we are kept alive and in sound health. And God has made it possible again for us to join in today's program on Family Essence. Let's bless the name of the Lord, because it is a good thing to bless the name of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. And so, our righteous God in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for making it possible for us today to be able to participate in today's program on Family Essence. We thank you for how far you've helped us in this program. Thank you, O Lord, for helping this ministry, the Bold Christian Ministry. Thank you, O Lord, for your strength upon each and every one that joins in this program. Thank you, O Lord, for the leadership. Thank you, O Lord, for how you have inspired us so far in helping us to fellowship with you as our Father. Lord, we are praying, we ask, you know, God, that more grace, more strength, more of your power, more of your spirit, you pour upon our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you've kept each and every one of us alive today. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for that which you've done in our life in the past, that which you are doing right now, and that which you are still going to do in our lives. Lord, we pray, we're asking that you will perfect all that concerns us and all that concerns our families in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for we know it is done. We pray that as we delve into your word, Lord, we pray that you will speak to our lives in Jesus' name. We pray, oh God, that you will touch our lives in a way that we will be thankful to you, and we will be grateful unto you, because we know that you are the God of our salvation. We thank you, Father, for we know it is done. We pray, O God, that you will teach us your word and instruct us through your word. And as a family, we pray that as we come together in the unity of faith, you will inspire us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, well, thank you, Father, for we know it is done. For in Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. All right. Yes. All right. Thank you so much for joining on Family Essence today. I want to appreciate each and every one of us for participating in today's program. And I want to believe that God is faithful to us, and He will always be faithful. He's always faithful, and He will remain faithful. I've seen God do different things in different lives. I've seen God change lives. I've seen God transform lives, and I want to believe He will do the same in our lives as well, in Jesus' name. All right. So today we will be looking on Family Essence. Today we'll be looking at a very important subject. This is a subject that, most of the time, we live in the world where people are highly decorated and highly decorated in terms of their status in the society, and they are very much concerned about, the way people see them. And of course, it will even take a lot of humility to accept the fact that that we are not where we are. But a lot of people pride themselves in their social status, and they are very much sensitive with regards to how people perceive them and all that. So we'll be looking at the new birth is the subject for today, the new birth, basically. And we'll be looking at the scripture we'll be looking at is in the book of John chapter 3 in verse 16. John chapter 3 in verse 16. But before we get to verse 16, I will be reading from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that is which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, my emphasis here is just to consider the dialogue and the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. And I want to tell you that it will take a whole lot of humility for a Sanhedrin leader to come to Jesus by night, basically. I mean, most in this current age, we like I did say earlier on, a lot of us pride ourselves in our social status, highly decorated when it comes to, our profession, our career, and all that. But in our walk with God, we will discover that there are such I would say deficiencies and shortcomings, basically, in so much that, we are not far-fetched from, the Pharisees, who basically wear a lot of regalias and sit in the uppermost seat in the synagogue, and then a lot of people respect them as these are spiritual leaders and all that, whereas they are running on deficits, basically. So it will take a lot of humility to accept our status as Christians and to be able to come humbly before God and to accept His word and to be instructed by Him. So I used to be on LinkedIn before. And on LinkedIn, you put there different things and all that. LinkedIn is actually a professional a professional. It's actually meant for professionals who are in two different careers, you know, to display their achievements and all that. But in the Christian, in the work with God, I mean, if there are a lot of things that are missing in our work with God, like the works, the righteousness, you know, faith, purity, holiness, there are a lot of things that that a lot of us will, many will claim to be called Christians are actually deficient. They are running on deficits right now. So it takes humility to come before God and accept the person that you are. Nicodemus realized that it is like the way we are doing this thing is not the way this man that came and is teaching about the way. So it's not, it's like we are wrong. And it will take a lot of humility to accept our present status, to know that we are running short of a lot of things, and to embrace the concept of salvation again and begin our walk with God again. Now, Nicodemus answered that, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, my emphasis is being born again. That's the first thing, basically. Being born again. Being born again means changing the way we think. That means someone who basically has been working with God in the past and then discover that, you know, took inventory of his life and then discover that, there's something missing. This man that just came now and is teaching us about the ways of God. There's a way he's teaching this. It's different from the book of Moses that we are reading. This one is very different. It takes a lot of humility to admit that. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot see. My emphasis is on seeing the kingdom of heaven. There is a level of walk with God that one would come, an understanding of God rather, that one will come to, and then you can really check your life, you can x-ray your life, your life is no longer what it used to be. You've changed your ways, you've changed the way you see things. I mean, forgiveness is not an issue in your life again. When someone offends you, I mean, it's a thing. The sun will not go down before you forgive. I mean, your life, your walk of righteousness, holiness, I mean, you can even, the Spirit of God can bear, you are always, you know, there's this extra of light that beam at you all the time. When you wake up, whatever you do in your conversation, your association with people, people you keep as friends, a lot of things like that, you know, things you can, it's glaring that your walk with God is now different. Except a man change the way he thinks, change the way he communicates, change a lot of things have to change. If there is no change in a man, there is no change, just the way you were before, at your in one's old life, is still the same way, then there's an issue. Being born again will make people see you. You will be different from others. Some people will say, "Oh, see this one. We don't even understand if he's living with us, if he's among us. We don't know his life. He has changed his ways. Even the people he communicates with and all that. A lot of things are going to change about you. About our life." About the way we think, things we see, things we watch, the programs we watch, a lot of things. That's why in the book of Matthew 23, you know, Jesus Christ spoke about the Pharisees and then he spoke about a lot of things about them. You know, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes, you cannot, there's no kingdom of heaven. You know, and he said, except a man be changed the way you think. Being born again, he cannot see. Not to talk of enter. Another passage says, he cannot, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot. That passage of scripture talks about being led of the Spirit of God. Basically. You know, except you come under the administration of God, you cannot enter. Because the Spirit of the Lord is, it will be the one to start changing one. He will be the one to start saying, no, this one don't, you know. I remember when I was on campus then in the university, when I gave my life to Christ and I came on campus and I thought I had arrived. And then the Spirit of God, I used to have one jeans that I love so much. And then the Spirit of God said, it just came to me, said that jeans that you used to wear, it's not as if there's nothing wrong with jeans. I mean, right now I put on jeans, you know. But it just came to me that time. He said, see this thing, you have to drop it. I don't want you to wear jeans. I was now asking questions. I brought all my reasons and my evidences and, you know, the concept of my salvation, how I got saved. I was discussing with the Holy Spirit. He didn't see anything. He just said, that one, drop it. You see, the Holy Spirit knows, the Spirit of God, God knows where our pride is hanging on. He knows the joints. He knows where exactly. And then he will ensure he breaks that thing before you can walk with God. Walking with God is experiential. It's not something, you know, it's not something hidden from any other. It's very experiential. It's something you can see. It's evident. Just like the way the people saw the disciples after, you know, Jesus had left. They said, oh, no, this one. They are Christians. They took after. That's the life. It's experiential. It's something you can see. It's not something hidden. That's why Jesus said, ye are the lights of the world. Light put away darkness. So when you come to a scene and you begin to talk and you begin to, you know, relate with people, they can tell the difference. They can analyze, you know, people can analyze things and all that. If oneself has not seen the change in you, and the Spirit of God doesn't have the cannot control you, then that life is not fully working, is not changed yet. So that passage of scripture that said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit that controls. It is not the Spirit of God that leads you. He will be the one to say, okay, go in this direction. No, that one is not. No, this one, that one. It can even come to you after being born again, and maybe you have, for instance, I will use WhatsApp, for example. It can say, I don't want to see you on WhatsApp for 1 month. Yes, that's the Spirit of God. It can. It's not, WhatsApp is okay. I mean, you communicate, you are not saying, and he will say, I don't, that one. when God realized that there is something stronger than his presence in our lives, the first thing he does is to break it. Is to break that thing. Because there is something you idolize that is different from that. That's the reason why the Sanhedrin, they are far away from the kingdom of heaven. The new birth is a life that is experiential. It's a life that you can see. There are evidences. You know, I was telling someone this morning that some of us, many so-called Christians, they still have not forgiven someone that offended them when they were small. That woman, no, she shouted at me. Ah, the way she treated me in our compound then. And they are still holding that one here. The new birth will make you will find forgiveness very easy. You find walking in righteousness, holiness, it will come to you naturally. That's the new birth. Except a man change the way he thinks, he cannot enter. He cannot even see the kingdom of heaven. Not to talk of entering it. It's a different thing when you know, okay, I think I'm on my way to the kingdom of heaven because I think I've set my way right with God. I've made my ways right with God and with people. I mean, I don't hold any grudge. I don't. Except you do that, you change the way you think, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus realizes his deficiencies. That he as a person is a bag of infirmity. That was the reason why he was able to come to Jesus the way he sees himself. And it takes a lot of humility to be able to do that. You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it talks about, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It talks about the newness of life. The old life is gone. This is the new life. Where you go to, what you watch with your eyes, you know. There was a time the Holy Spirit came to me and he said, that thing that you used to watch on TV, I don't want you there again. If you want to fellowship with me, that thing has to go. Yes, that's the Spirit of God. Is the kingdom of all heaven is operate under commandments, under strict instructions. Those instructions are there to keep you in check so that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you see somebody that is still, they said they claim they are born again, they haven't forgiven their neighbor, they are still, you know, backbiting, they are still cheating, they are still fornicating, they are still, you know, smoking, drinking alcohol, doing all sorts of things. They are far away from the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is not a place where you stroll into, like the Sanhedrin would do. It's not a place where one can just walk in. The Bible says nothing that offends can enter into that place. Some of us, maybe we have seen a garbage truck, you know, or walk past a garbage truck. When you walk past a garbage truck, maybe the garbage truck hasn't taken too much load of dirt, so it doesn't stink that well. But there are situations when you walk past, you will know that, I mean, this is a garbage truck that just passed by me. That's the way we are perceived by God. That's the way the spirit realm operates. That's the way the Spirit of God, that's the way. We have to come clean. God wants, he is a God of clean slate. Clean slate. He likes to write things on a clean slate. If you notice that there is anything that is wrong, he won't even bother. You have to come clean before God. In heaven, they don't settle fights. You don't say, because there's nothing like that. When someone was asking Paul the Apostle, that I think it was in the book of Corinthians, that how are the saints transformed? How are they changed? Which body did they go to? Paul looked at him, he said, I pity you. That which you see, the question you're asking is not that. A person that wants to enter heaven must die first. You have to be dead before you enter into the kingdom. Being a Christian and walking with God goes beyond preparation. And it is the Spirit of God that will guide one, that will lead you, that will teach you the walk of righteousness and holiness. Christianity, as a lot of people perceive it today, is not, in fact, what we call Christianity now. What people pride themselves in Christianity, I'm a Christian. When you ask this one, they will be telling you histories of their life. It goes beyond history. It's experiential. It's something you can see. So it's important that we take our Christian walk with God very seriously. And perhaps, you know, we've taken inventory of our lives in the past, even recently, and we discover that there are deficiencies and there are things that we do not like about our walk with God. God wants us to come to Him the way we are, but not remain the way we are. Because as you come to Christ, you are permitted to come to Christ the way you are, but not remain the way you are. There must be a change. There must be a transformation. People can see things. People can see different things. People can see the change in us. People can see the transformation. That's the way it is. And if, you know, this is an age when people don't like to sit under authority. If you want to live as a Christian, the kingdom of heaven is governed by strict controls, strict authorities, commandments. That's why Jesus Christ would always give a new commandment. Have I given unto you that ye love? It operates under commandments. And the Spirit of God is the spiritual capital that we have to really, you know, walk sincerely with God in this age. If the Spirit of God is missing in the life of a man and he walked away, that man is nothing. So being a Christian goes beyond. I was born again in 2007. I gave my life to Christ, but we can't see the evidences. We can't see. It's not experiential to us. We can't see it. We can't see the difference between you and unbeliever on the street. So the new birth talks about a new ways of thinking, a new ways of life. There are some things that will take us far away from the kingdom of heaven, except we do away with them. You know, someone said, I'm just here. I don't have friends. I don't have. It's because being a Christian will separate you totally. To live as a Christian is war. Yes, to live a Christian life is war. Is war. If anybody is deceiving us that it's not so hard. What you are doing? You are far. It's not hard. We can. No. If they hate Christ, they are going to hate you. Yes, because they will invite you to birthday parties. That is the song they are playing. Everything is, and they want you to be there. And the Spirit of God is telling you, this one, this birthday party, don't go there. I say, my siblings are there. Everybody is. The Spirit of God is the quality control, becomes the quality control of our lives when we give our life to Christ. And it will be speaking to us. If you don't listen to the Spirit of God, he will leave you. You will know when he leaves. That is in the life of a new birth. Things you used to do before, you don't do them again. The Holy Spirit comes to you and he says, this one, I don't want you to be doing this again. He will be the one to be removing those things just to bring you into perfection in Christ. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. So Nicodemus here admitted that, you know, I can't continue like this. In fact, that's the only record that we have for a leader in the Sanhedrin who came to Jesus, and then that's the only record we have. That's the only record. You know, he realized that, I'm a bag of infirmity. I can't continue the way these people are. I can't continue the way it is. No, this one that came, he came with a totally, this one is abstract. So living for Christ and the new birth talks about how we are meant to live in Christ. We shouldn't be priding ourselves in a lot of things when our walk with God is suffering, is we are in deficit, we are bankrupt when it comes to our Christian faith, when it comes to our walk with God. From time to time, I try as much as possible to take inventory of my life from time to time, and each day, each moment, because yesterday is different from today. Today is different from tomorrow. So it's a daily walk with God. And the Holy Spirit is the spiritual capital that we have to be able to put our lives in check and balances, and to be able to, you know, enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 5 in verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Walking with God is beyond the life of the Pharisee. If you read the account of the Pharisees in Matthew 23, Jesus Christ spent a whole chapter to talk about the life of the Pharisees. So are there things in our lives that does not, that has taken control of our lives, and we cannot let go of those things? If you want to walk with God and you want to be a Christian, we need to do away with those things. Because the concept of the new birth is being born again. Being born again goes beyond
confession, salvation, all those things. Being born again is like you declare war. Yes, it's war. When you say you want to take on the new birth, you want to be a Christian, you want to walk, you have declared war. The devil will leave every other person. He will focus on you. Yes, he will focus on you. People will call you names. They will say, we don't even understand. They will call family meeting. A lot of things will come at you. A lot of things will come at you. You will be the point of attention. And then for you to survive, you need the Spirit of God to be in control. You need the Spirit of God to put you in check. You need to, a lot of things, you need the Spirit of God to guide you on how to walk with God. I've seen people claim to be Christians, but there is no evidence of salvation in their lives. I've seen people pride themselves in being successful Christians and all that, and then there's no, you know. I was on social media recently, and I saw the death of this young man, Charlie Clark. You know, if you want to be a Christian, you must be ready. Every Christian, there is an allocation of suffering for everybody. There is an allocation. It's not just Christ that will suffer on the cross. Everybody, there will be. Oh, you are carrying your cross, and then you are pained. You are pained. Ah, you want to go somewhere. Yeah, the Spirit of God say no, you can't go there. You are a changed person. Ah, hey, you want to hit something. You say, ah, no, that thing, it will, no, this one will derail you. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't. You want to pick up a job. You say, that position, that's the place you will be derailed. And you can hear him clearly. It's not that your mind is, you can hear him clearly. Say, oh, don't pick up that position. So you are, the cross is not convenient. The new birth, carrying the cross. These days, people carry the cross with one hand. They hold the cross with one hand. But on the other hand, they are using that one too. to still do some things in the world. So their own cross, they are not holding it with two hands. It's one hand. And they say they are Christian. And they are going to the same heaven that Abraham, Enoch, Isaiah went to. It's not the same heaven. These people, they don't count their... They are not no longer living. When you give your life to Christ, you are no longer in charge. There is a government in charge now. And the government supersedes all of your... Oh, and you can bring all your evidences to say, why shouldn't I? Why can't I? Because that was what happened to me on campus. When I was on campus and the Spirit of God will instruct me, he will say, no, that thing, don't, no. This set of friends, you can't keep up with them. Just let them go. And I'll bring all my evidences and all my proofs and, you know, the different things. And he will say, no, no, no. That's the Spirit of God. The day a man decides to shut off the Spirit of God from his life, then it will start. You come back in the next 1 year, you will not see that man the way you found him before. Things would have changed. In fact, it would have gone deep into sin. So the quality control that we have as Christian to live the life of a new birth is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit from time to time will keep us, will warn us, will instruct us, will guide us so that we can be on our way to heaven. You know, Christianity is spiritual. I mean, being a Christian is spiritual, rather. Walking with God is very spiritual. I was telling someone, I said, for you to live the life of a new birth, you need power. I didn't even know that for the past 20 years, I just realized that to be a Christian, you need power to be a Christian. Yes, you need to be empowered. It's not just confession of salvation. You need to be empowered because immediately you give your life to Christ, the devil comes and he begins. He will leave every other person as if you are the only one visible. He will leave every other person. You know, the parable of the sower, when you read the parable, there are deep revelations in all those, you know, stories, but I don't want to go into all that. You know, he will leave every other person. He will, he will fight you with, he knows, he has the record of your past life, how you were living. He has it. He will come with those books. Each day he will open, he say, this one, no, you can't, this one, you have to, his spirit, you need power to walk with God. Yes. You need power. Salvation is a gift. Yes. That was the reason why the book of Jude spoke about the common salvation that everybody claims they have now. He spoke, when you read further, it will don't get too excited easily. No. This one, the life of a new birth, is a real life. In fact, that is our life. That's our reality on earth. So I want to say to us that if we take inventory of our lives, we should see where we are by now. And I want to say that if your walk with God has not been consistent, it's time to go back to Calvary and ask God for grace and ask God for forgiveness. There is no pride in, living a life that is not inconsistent with what is written of us, with our realities on earth. Yes, our reality is heaven on earth, but there's no pride. Nicodemus realized that this one, I'm not walking right, so he had to come. So let's take inventory of our lives, and this is what the Spirit of God has to say to us today. The new birth is our reality. And if by any ways we've wandered away and we've gone far, I want us to bow down heads as we pray together. And I want to believe God is here and God will listen to the sound of our voice and will hear our cry if we sincerely are ready to walk with God as Christians and ready to do His will. He is willing to support us and is willing to give us His grace to walk with Him. Let's bow down heads as we pray together. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.